Whatever time.
No.
Take
about 8:30.
We're negotiating. 9:30? Okay.
9:30.
Okay. Where's my white Ray Charles over there? Let's do Zion's Hill. I got the wrong song. I want Ship Ahoy. You told me the wrong song.
You told me the wrong song.
I don't remember that, Your Honor. Keep going. It sounds good. What is it? Stay out of my preaching. .473. It's all getting rough, man. There it is. Hi, Jesse, crank it. I was drifting away on life's pitiless sea, and the angry waves threatened my ruins to be, when away at my side there I dimly described a stale vessel, and loudly I cried, Ship ahoy, ship ahoy, and loudly I cried, Ship ahoy. 'Twas the old ship of Zion, thus sailing along, all aboard her seemed joyous, I heard a sweet song, and the captain's kind ear, ever ready to hear, caught in a wail of distress as I cried out in fear. Ship ahoy, ship ahoy, as I cried out in fear. Ship ahoy, the good captain commanded a boat to be lowered, and with tender compassion, hey, he took us on board. And I'm happy today, all of my sins washed away in the blood of my Savior, and now we can say, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, from my soul I can say, bless the Lord. Oh, soul seeking down neath sin's merciless wave, the strong arm of our captain is mighty to save. Then trust him today, no longer delay. Board that old ship of Zion and shout on he away. Jesus save! Jesus save! I'm gonna shout along the way. Thank you very much. That's not bad. 3 more years, I'll be 70, man. Good night. Come a long way from Sha-na-na. Bowl it, bip, 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 bip. Oh, well, there we go. I'll get you back on that one now, okay? John chapter 8 in your Bibles. Quickly, John chapter 8. My goodness. I'm seeing these new guys coming on the scene. Good to see Brother Myers. My goodness. Machine gun. And come a long way from Tennessee, teaching in the school, running the boys home there. Brother Ralph, I saw him preach the other day. I said, man, where are these guys coming from? Out of the woodwork. And I thank you for a meeting like this to give preachers a platform. Amen. And I thank God for Men in Black down here and Brother Gary. And I met Brother Wood years ago, about 1975, down in Corpus with Brother Olaw. And It's just a blessing. Where'd you go to school at? When he wanted to know where I went to school at, I said, I went to school at PBI. And told me, learn anything? I said, yes, sir. He said, what'd you learn? I learned how to keep my mouth shut and report for duty. Amen. He said, you're going to do something. And so I tried to heed to that. Try to tell young men, sit down and watch them. The Bible says they sit down and watch them a while. Some of you people need to watch your pasture. Amen. Learn your pasture. Amen. Some of these guys want to get in going. They got 4 points and outline and a preaching voice. They think they can go at it. I said, no. You gotta put up with that suffering. And so I'm trying to help you lighten your Christian life. I'm still trying to learn it myself after 48 years. And I don't know how long we got down here. And Trump's not my savior, but I like him. I said, I like him. He's not my savior. And he's done more for the Jews than the last 10 presidents. And I mean, use your head, a woodpecker does. But I thank God, I think we're going to get out of here soon. I'm not going through the tribulation. You can go and wait around all you want to. I'm out of here, okay? I'm not going home on typology, okay? I got it black and white. I'm out of here saved from that wrath to come. We're going home. I'm going to talk to you tonight about what our problems are, what my problems are and what your problems are. And here's the gist of it. Keeping that lion shining bright. Yep. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I'll get somewhat personal tonight, but I'll never reveal my sources. I'm Baptist Mafia. I don't talk. And I'll blow your house up, but I don't talk. And but I know some people here tonight, you got some heavy heartaches. You got your kids are out there in the world. They're in the pit. Some are in jail, and I know that. But I don't discuss that with other people. A lot of people always ask me, Brother Jack, what about this person? What about this person? Oh, he's a good man. Keep going. Get on down the road. Leave him alone. You go mind your own business. I don't reveal my sources and try to help them. And I'm going to do, I never give up on people. Never give up on them. Even if they're perverted, I'll still try to help them. Some of the most wicked kids I ever met were preacher's sons. Preacher's daughter. Don't bow your heads yet now. Come on now. I want to encourage you tonight. I'm going to talk to you about what Jesus Christ said about John the Baptist, his second cousin. And John represented him. And, isn't that something? For 30 years, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. John portrayed that. When Jesus Christ showed up, you never heard again from John the Baptist. If you want him to show up, you got to get out of the way. And I got to get out of the way. But you're going to pick up some things along the journey. You're going to pick up some bitterness along the way. You're going to pick up, why didn't people use me like they used them? Where is my fair shot? Why didn't I get a chance? And the devil takes that and rolls it on your mind and rolls it and rolls it and rolls it. I never asked Lester Roloff to give me a job, but I chased him for 2 years. I chased him for two stinking years. Borrowing vehicles to get to see him, borrowing vehicles to go see him. I mean, we were so poor back in Bible school, we couldn't even pay attention. But I chased him all over Florida, all over Georgia. I met Jesse Norris, an old school guy. Jesse Norris and a lot of those guys down in Ponce, Roy Rigdon, I knew those guys. And I heard those guys preach when I just got saved, scared the devil out of me. And many of those guys had God on them. But our preachers these days are losing that punch. They're getting a little monotone, little la-la land. So I love this church. I remember the first time I came here, I was working for Howells Anderson College back in the day. And somebody said, what took you to Hammond? Probably to get the King James Bible in Bill Grady's hands. That's worth the trip. Probably to help turn Dr. Jack Howells for the King James Bible. I'm not a camp guy. Whose camp are you in? I've never been in a camp. I'm not joining a camp. I'm outside the camp, bearing his reproach. I know what I believe in. I thank God I got to sit under Dr. Pete Ruckman. I got saved on a Sunday afternoon at Brent Baptist Church. He preached on three crosses that night, and he took to me, and I can't tell you some of the surnames he was throwing at me. I was wearing all my Motown clothes from purple silk pants and an orange silk Tom Jones shirt on and white Temptation shoes. And he was gonna, I'll let you figure it out when you get home, okay? And they're of the Hamite persuasion. And that night I trusted Christ as my Savior. It dawned on me 2 months later what happened to me. Then I started learning Bible. I got put in the body of Christ, and God gave me some gifts. Now I got to find out what those gifts are. Yeah. So you just didn't get saved to sit. Right. You got saved to serve. Yeah. You got saved to serve. And so I'm going to try to help you in your Christian life tonight. I'm not going to preach to you long. I'm hungry. Every time I swallow, my stomach says, thank you. How many of y'all got a sister who cannot cook? I mean, come on, be honest. Come on, be honest. Be honest. My sister asked me today, you coming over for eating? I said, no. I got a credit card for such a time as this. I told her that. And, hey, I go to her house. I got to pray after I eat, okay? That's rough, you know. Let's look over here in John chapter 8. Let's preach to you, and we'll go to the house. John chapter, enjoy that message by Brother Lutrick. I mean that. I love her sincerity. I love his reality. John chapter 8, of course, the Lord is coming on. He's coming on the scene now, John. Isn't that something? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Four is the number of earth. You got 4 points in your compass. You ain't going to beat the Bible. But most of it here know more Bible than the most preachers in the pulpits in America. Now, my question is to you, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? That's what I'm trying to help you. And I'm going to try to help you Christians tonight. I had all myself in Alabama got cleared up and working on some other issues. I've already started about 5 other homes. I just don't tell people. I don't like to count my vessels. Yeah. Like Solomon of old, he quit counting them in the temple. Yeah. I placed about 150 people in the last 6 weeks. Never met them. I've been to jail a lot to meet them. Some of them I have. You know, there's 150 homes in the state of Missouri tonight. 150 homes. Agape is the largest one. I connected with them 35 years ago. But he said, Brother Jack, can you give me the secret of why you do what you do? I owe him. But going to hell for me. 87 people in my immediate family trusted Christ because of what he did at Calvary. All the junk you've been through, yeah. Now the people who raided me are calling me and helping their nieces and nephews. Isn't that strange? See, you don't react, you act. You don't go goofy. I had three raids with Broloff in Texas. Isn't that funny? The guy who put Broloff in jail, the governor set him free. He came and had to eat quail with Lester Broloff 2 weeks after he got out of jail. He said, I'm glad you're open because you changed the law. Because of your case, we changed the law in Texas. But he never spoke about it. Sometimes in the Christian life, you can't talk about stuff. You let it go. But most times, you won't let it go, but you'll carry it and talk about it and talk about it and talk about it, and it'll ruin you. So, Brother Jack, what do you do every morning? Well, about every night and about every morning, I have a deep six funeral. All the stuff happened to me, this, okay, Lord, let's bury this now. Tomorrow's another day. I need some more mercy. Hello? I need some more mercy. Hey, I need some more every day. Hey, every day, every day, every day. New mercy, new mercy, new mercy. Man, you can't, how are you going to lose on that? Man, you got to win on that, amen? But let me preach to you over here. John chapter 8, and Jesus Christ is talking. Come on about verse number, oh, it's all good. Come on about verse number 29. And let's see here. Yeah, verse 29. And he that sent me is with me, John chapter 8, 29. And hold on here, make sure I'm in the right spot here. A little glory to God. Hold on. I got my notes. I'm getting old. Hold on. I'm in John chapter 8 right now. Yeah. John chapter 8. Hold on. No, I'm in the wrong chapter. Hold on. Good night. Ryman loves this, doesn't he? Oh, back over to John 5. I'm sorry. Thank you, Holy Ghost. That don't bother me. I'll laugh at you, too. If you can't take a joke about yourself, don't go in the ministry, okay? There's my paragraph marker. Oh, John, verse 32. I knew I missed. Where's that paragraph marker at? Man, I got heart sent to me. My eyes are getting bad. My legs are bad. I'm going to leave out of here Sunday night and go back to Detroit. I got about 15 guys coming in Empire, and I totally restructured that. The druggies tore it all apart. I think there was something else to it, but I just let it go, and it'll take care of it at that day. And my guys got everything just about redone, rebuilding, wiring, pulling, and farmers backed away. But I don't sit around and cry about it. Amen. They owe me about 150 grand. Yeah. Never missed a payment in 14 years. Isn't that a quinky-dinky? You pay your bills and go on. They say, well, we're not going to pay this. That's all right. I got to go. And I got a lot of my Amish guys back. The Amish right now that I had in my program, 4 of them built homes for men and women. One of them runs about 40 women. The other one runs about 20 men. And they're doing great. They got something while they're there. Now, I got to work on that eternal security now. But I still go there and eat with them. Their money spends good just like your check does. Yeah. Brother Wolf, somebody asked Brother Wolf one time, so he wants this old boat. He said, my name is Jimmy. I'll take all you give me. Yeah. And you use that for what it's worked for. See, here's where most Christians are doing with their Christian life. They get it and put it in the pocket. Here's the real way. But somehow this has stopped somewhere and among the Bible believers and fundamentalists. It was all damn and no mental, you know, whatever. But let's look here at the Bible tonight. Let me speak to you. I want to be a blessing to you tonight. And I've enjoyed all the preaching and so forth. Looking forward to being here tomorrow evening. And I'll be heading back over to Dearborn and back down the ranch next week. John chapter 5, look at verse 32. There is another that bears witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light. And ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Father, thank you for the word of God. Help me be a blessing to your people tonight. In Christ's name I pray, amen. I showed up in Corpus right after Bible school in Pensacola, me and a guy named Jim Mundy. Jim and Jack Mundy, they were identical twins, and they finished Bible school there, and I didn't have a car, and mine broke up. I bought it from another pastor. It blew up on the way from Mobile to Pensacola, and I scrapped it out. And Jim said, Jack, he said, I'll take you back home to Detroit. And he said, I want to see Corpus. I'll just drive you, and I paid him. I'll do what I can to cover the gas and so forth. We showed up in Corpus. We went to Detroit for about a week and a half and told my mom goodbye, and I'm heading back down to Corpus. And she said, who are all these German guys you're hanging with? My mother wasn't around the Bible much. Rookman and Roloff, you know, she didn't know the difference. I had to explain it to her. I said, Mom, he has a men's home, women's home, boys' home, girls' home. And I said, I'll be down there working somewhere I didn't know. All I was going to do was show up. I didn't have nothing in mind what I was going to do. And matter of fact, I got down there and I knocked on his door and his office, right? And I said, Private Patterson reporting for duty. That's what I said to him. He said, well, come on in. You're a big private. You're the biggest private I ever had. And we come in there and he was in a jumpsuit there, you know. But long story short, when I got there, he wasn't there. We got on that 600-acre farm and got there. And I didn't know that Lester Roloff didn't eat what he ate. I didn't know he was a health nut. I didn't know that. I mean, no Oreo cookies. No coffee, no Pepsi, no pop, no chip dip, no Dean's chip with ruffles. Oh, come on now. That's going to be in the marriage supper of the lamb. Amen. You don't want them? I'll eat them, okay? And got down there, and I told Jim, I said, man, we're in trouble, man. Ain't got no stinking food to eat. I said, we better go eat some food in town before we go down to this island. And so we went down there, and the guys picked us up that night. We got to the bunkhouse, and had about 3 feet of watermelon rind, typical program people, you know. And so got in there and so forth. Hey, I got a room. I'll play. You don't make your bed. You don't eat. I pulled my plate back on a guy who was in a decathlon out in Washington. I pulled his plate on him. As you go make the bed, you can have that biscuits and gravy and scrambled eggs with hot sauce and a cup of coffee. Hello. Yeah. Got a generation going to tell the preachers and mom and dad what to do. Yeah. I got enough guts inside me. Hey, look, son, we ain't going that route. You're going to either get there or I'll just drop you off at the bus station. I don't have much patience for wimps and crybabies. And long story short, he married a girl out of Joe Costa's church and doing great. Went to PBI for a while and so forth. Lost track of him, doing good. And we got down to his bunkhouse. We cleaned it up and we got to bed. It was about 3 in the afternoon. We drove all night from Pensacola, got there, and then get a motel. We wanted to get there. And about 2 hours later, about 4 o'clock, there's a knock at the door. Said, we're looking for Jack Patterson. You're going to the lighthouse. And I said, I just got here. I want to meet Brother Roloff. Yeah. Goodbye. Click. Didn't ask me if I was going or what. He just shut the door. And 2 hours later, here they come picking us up, taking us down to the boat dock. And they got us on this boat called the Gippy. We called it the Jippy because it broke down 17 times that night going to the intercoastal. And it only held about 8. We had about 14. It kept rocking back and forth. The waves about 5 foot high. I said, my goodness. And Jim kept yelling, hey, Brother Jack, welcome to the ministry. Welcome. Oh, get me out of here, Jim. And we got down to this island, and there was a riot going on at the island. and they all had fillet knives and so forth. He said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to pick up a Mickey Mantle 34. I want that baseball bat in my possession tonight. Now, these weren't minors. These are grown men. Oh, these are all LSD freaks. And I got up there in my bed and so forth. The lights were on. And I mean, the whole island was chaos. I said, where is Lester Roloff? Long story short, he called me the next morning on the FM radio and said, just Jack Patterson from Detroit. I said, yes, sir, I'm looking for you. Well, I can't make it there, whatever the idea. He said, I'll be there in about 2 weeks. He said, line it out. Those are my orders. Line it out. So I lined it out. Intimidate me with that. I'm anti-intimidatable. And we had a big meeting. I took all the knives off them, all the repellent knives off them, lined them up. They had about 37 people there, I guess. They had about, most of them were older guys, but had about 15 boys on the age of 11 years old in the same dorm. I said, no, we're changing that right now. And I took care of that. Opened showers. I took care of that. And had a meeting. I met with each one of those guys. I lined them out. I put them in groups of four. And I put them in this group, this group, this group. We started fishing. In about 2 weeks, I got to preaching every night. And I got to preaching on the Bible, got preaching on Calvary, and guys just thought, man, I never knew I could be saved. I didn't know I could have my sins forgiven. He started getting saved. He started getting saved. And then a guy named Ron Robinson from Chicago showed up. Ron got saved, and I used to be a heroin mainline addict. Now he just pulled 35 years out of Alaska as a missionary, and all of his boys all went to PBI and graduated. And I didn't go there. I was just to show up and report for duty. I was there 3 years. Wait a minute, one night we had one of our young men, he got bit by a rattlesnake. And the wind was so bad, the Coast Guards couldn't get down there. And I called Brother Roloff. I said, Roloff, I tell you, I said, preacher, you got to come down and get this boy. He said, Jack, he said, I'll fly down tonight to get him, but you got to do one thing for me. You got to put these lights out on the runway. He said, you got to check that glass and make sure all the soot, there's no soot on the glass. Because it'll burn. I'm a city guy. He said you turn the lamp on, but even if there's a lot of soot on the glass, the light ain't coming through.
Right.
Man, I opened that door, Brother Ryman, I saw all those over 100 smudge spots in this big room, and every one of them had dark oil-based substance on the glass. They all had to be wiped clean before he landed, and he was already in the air. This is 2 weeks after Bible college. There's much stuff you got to pray about. I wonder what would Brother Rackman do if he was there. I just obeyed orders. He said, I'll be on the runway in about an hour. So we got in that glass, and we wiped all those glasses out, over 100 of them. And we spread 50 on one side and 50 on the other side where he can at least get a quarter of a mile landing that night, pitch black. Got the boy off of there. Said, Brother Patterson, what are you saying? He said, John the Baptist was a burning and a shining light. Tonight we're burning through the gospel of Jesus Christ. You got born again. Your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. But we've allowed some soot along the journey, a soot along the journey to get on that glass, and we can't shine. We can't get a light out. We can't get our prayers answered. We don't know what God's going to do in our life. Why? Because you can't see through the glass with all the oil based on the glass, and the only way to get that oil, only way. It's conditional, people. It's conditional. If you confess your sin and give it to him, he's faithful, and he'll wipe it all away through the blood of Christ. I'm telling you tonight, at 67 years old, I've got to keep the soot off my glass. I want to be able to permeate. When you get saved, you get born again. When you get saved and turn the light out, you permeate your Christianity. That's why people don't know you're saved. You got some sun on your Christian life and it ain't shining. I'm talking about unconfessed sin. I'm talking about gossiping. I talk about being mean to people. Hey, I've never seen people in my life how Christians treat each other. I don't want you on my, if you got a bad spirit, but don't even come on my property. My dog will bite you. He's a chihuahua, but he will bite you. Yeah. Daddy don't like you here. Get out of here. Follow the yellow brick road. I've told some preachers a couple years ago to come by. They ever start talking about some people you know. I said, hey, brothers, we don't do that here. Well, I just want to tell you about, no, you ain't telling me nothing. You ain't bringing your slop. Lester Roloff had a rule. If he caught you gossiping on the farm, he fired you. Now look, some of you tonight got a heavy heart, and your kids are out there in that pit out there, and that, the problem is not you. The problem is they are not willing to get the set off the glass. Yeah. Hello? Yeah. And some of you are taking it personal while your family members are messing their lives up. It ain't about you. It's about Christ. Yeah. I got a girl, a young man the other day. My wife called me. I took him in the gray dorm out in Washington. She said, Brother Patterson, what am I doing with my husband? Went to Bible school, graduated from Crown College. He said he tried to sell my baby boy the other night for $100. I said, put him in jail. Got a call from the family, got mad at me. I said, look, don't ever call me and tell me how I'm going to run my ministry. I'm teachable, but come on. Well, he didn't mean it. He'd have sold the baby for $100. I'm trying to tell you, we got an epidemic around here. It's not the progressives. It's called the Baptist that ain't got a clean glass. Let me ask you a question. When the last time you passed out a gospel tract? When the last time you told someone how to get saved? You got all the movies, got all the songs, you know all the stars. If I can get all the money off the tattoos in this room tonight that you got on your body, I'd probably buy a new van. I can't believe you're preaching that. Well, stick around, you're going to like it less. I'm sick and tired of Bible-believing Baptists knowing the Bible and doing nothing with it. I'm tired of Bible-believing Baptists coming to church and looking like a bum. Hey, I was down there at PBI a couple of miles. I love that school. I love Joe Jerome. Hey, that's where I got it at. I'm coming up that doorway, and there's four punks out there in their little tight jeans. They got a greasy leg to put them on. Hello, amen. And there was a lady carrying the baby. I said, hey, fellas, won't you catch that door right there? They just kept sipping a little coffee out of little solo cups. I said, and I about half crippled. Hey, lady, hold up. Let me catch that door for you. Amen. You may know who the guys are. Tell them I said so. Yeah. I ran up there and opened that door, and that lady ran in with her baby. I looked around. I said, hey, guys. Hey, Brother Patterson, how you doing? You know what we call you guys in Detroit? Oh, what's that? Punks. I wanted to say something else. I'm saved, but I still remember a few things. I'm like Jim Vineyard. I won't cuss, but if you write it down, I'll sign it. Yeah. Hello. All I'm trying to tell you tonight, people of God, as we're saved, we're going to glory, and we've allowed the soot from the glass, and all we got to do is just wash that soot off. Keep our communication. You can lose your fellowship with Christ, but you'll never lose your salvation. I remember one night I had some issues in my own heart about 1994, and I was the chaplain of the sheriff's department out there, and, well, Jack, I get so tired of him. How do you know everybody? Probably because I go meet them. Yeah. Gee, Wally. Yeah. Well, why do people give you things? Maybe God can trust me with it. Yeah. I've had people trying to steal my properties, steal my dorms. They're lucky I ain't talking. Yeah. That'll come out one day. But sometimes... Give me a cup. Anybody got a cup or a bottle? Find me a bottle. I ain't preaching. Give me that. Bring it up here. What are you doing wearing a pink shirt, man? Get out of here. I thought, thank you, my friend. Thank you so much. I'm going to show you what the Christian life is all about. It's real simple. You don't need to read Doc's book. Who are you going to fight now? Oh, I want to find out what you're going to say. I'm going to tell you what David did. Can you give me a glass of water from the well of Bethlehem? And they brought him a glass of water. And the Bible said he poured it out. Yep. Out of respect for those men. Yep. I got a guy just called me yesterday from Washington and said, I got another Air Force base out here. I'll give it to you. He said, how much is it worth? He said, about $2 million. I said, why don't you sell it? Make some money off it and put it in other works. He says, no, I want you out here to run it. I said, no, I'm not in the running business no days. I got to slow down a little bit. I said, why don't you ask some of my other guys out there to run it? He said, I already asked seven churches. They don't want it. Souls are crying, men are dying. Won't you lead them to the cross? Go and find them, help to win them. Win the lost at any cost. You know why some of you teenagers that are talking right now, you're not paying attention? You're afraid to get poured out. Because it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. I was with Brother Job. I go up there a lot trying to help Brother Job to be a servant. We don't hear that much preached in Bible-believing churches much. I'm the man of God. I hear that one more time, I'm going to vomit. I'm the man of God. You got to see your face when you say that. I'm the man of God. I like the man of God. But let other people call you that. Let other people call you that. Let them detect that in your life. Jack Wood was a man of God. Lester Roloff was a man of God. Alan Ryman is a man of God. But hey, man, I'm a man of God. I never hear him say that. Oh, I'm busting some bubbles tonight. I was with Brother Job one night. Got this girl in the dorm. I said, Brother Job, I said, you need to start a women's home. Brother Hood was on his deathbed. Well, so some of you clock watchers, I'm going to be done by 8:30. I'm going to keep my 35 minutes. I'm not finished, but I'll be done as he asks. And I get, God wants me to preach. Sit down and shut up. I hate that. I don't care what your name is. If you can't listen to the man of God. This girl came in there and I said, let's call her dad. I won't tell you the name of the city. He was the city controller of that city. He said, brother, I don't know what your name is, but I knew Lester Roloff. He was all over Ohio when I was young. I went to heard him preach at Landmark Baptist Church. But Job was there. His wife was there. This is about, I don't know, sometime that afternoon. I'm trying to get him back. I'm trying to get her back into the home, his home. That's what he said. He said, you tell my daughter I've done all I could for her. It might have been her stepdaughter or foster child. Raised her from birth. You tell her I love her, but never call me again. Wow. Click. And you wonder why kids are going to hell. Yeah. Well, those parents got that nice house. They got that nice car. They got those nice boats. Yeah. They don't want nobody bothering them. Yeah. Well, God will bother you. The Holy Ghost will bother you. Yeah. You got married and made them. Now put up with them. Hey, I know a family right here tonight, their son is breaking their heart, and they won't give up on him, but they won't let him around the grandkids because he's nuts. And I agree with them. They're sitting in here tonight. I got a young man come in one day, and was back in Corpus, and he got through, come out of Reedsville prison for 2 years. And there's some things about a guy coming out of prison. I try to teach the guys. He's not anybody special, but he has an alert reaction when you say things or stand too close to him. I teach them all this stuff, what not to do. Sometimes leadership is knowing what not to do. And these guys start messing with this guy was going to hawk a blade on him, cut him, playing basketball. He warned him. I told him, I said, knock it off. You better knock it off right here. Long story short, he went back home, graduated, got with the old crowd. And I don't have lost friends. I said, I don't have lost friends. Because my daddy and their daddy don't get along with each other. Amen. Their daddy's the devil. Amen. Now, you can paint it up all you want. Oh, we're friends of mine. They like me. Let's slit your throat. You get them on dope, need money. Yep. Hello? And this guy came down there, and long story short, he got back off on dope, and he got over there, and he married this other girl. And this girl said, I can't take the dope anymore. He grew up on the Roloff. Used to love to go hear Jack Wood up in Houston. I sent a bunch of guys up there to go hear Brother Wood at Shady Acres and so forth. He's heard all the other preachers, but yet he took his life in yawning. I catch more than what I let you know. I watch. Jeremiah said, my eye affects my heart. That's good and bad. I watch things. I watch your reactions. I mean, sitting back there, I got you on radar. That young man went out to get breakfast that morning, and two kids were standing there watching mom, and she hung herself. He said, Brother Jack, I lost it. He said, I woke up in a mental ward, Millersville, Georgia, about an hour from Chattanooga. He said, I was in that mental ward. He said, Jack, Lester Roloff told me if I died, I want you to call two preachers. I want you to call Jack Howes or Lester Roloff. You ought to have a list like that with somebody. Amen. Don't leave them without hope. I said, don't leave them without hope in life. Amen. Oh, what about you do? Well, why don't you do it? Yeah. What Brother Ryman do? Man, why don't you do it? Because yeah. You got to give up some things. Maybe sleep, maybe time, maybe some money. He said, I called Dr. Lee Robertson. I felt led to call him. I said, yeah, I'm glad you did. It took 2 months sometime to get an appointment with Jack Howes. He called Lee Robertson. He answered the phone. Hello, Lee Robertson. And he told him his story. Young man, Lester's gone now, young man. Yeah, I can hear him now. Young man, Lester's gone now. He said, when you get out, you just walk in my office. I have open door policy. But I'm glad he was there. I made some mistakes in my life. You don't have to remind me. I would go on way too much. I put my strings in the hand of fools. And that Bible says in Proverbs, don't put rule or things in the hand of a man whose feet are not equal. It ain't right. He ain't walking straight. Long story short, Teddy Holcomb got out of prison, or out of the mental ward. He went to talk to Lee Robertson. He said, Teddy, he said, I see something in you. And see you, preachers, hey, you got to give the people hope. It ain't your preaching voice that's going to change them. Ain't the little 3 points in a poem going to change them. They got to know you're there. They got to know you're there. You're there. You're there. You're there. Hand me that right here. Give me that. Well, that's that fat kid, but he can't move. Yeah. Just give me that rope. Give me that. Yeah, just give me that to me right there. All they want to know is this right here. All they want to know, will you hold the rope for me? There's some of you tonight, you got grandkids, you got nieces, you got nephew, and you dropped the rope. Yep. You don't want them to bother you. Why? You done paid your... No. Pick up that rope and hold on to them. Hold on with prayer. Hold on with encouragement. And let them know, come hell or high water, you ain't going to give up on them.
Yeah, amen.
You ain't going to give up on them. I know you want to jab slap them sometime. I do.
Yeah.
A jab slap. I don't know, but it sounds good. That bird, Teddy Holcomb, he went to Tennessee Temple University at 49 years old and made Preacher Boy of the Year and graduated within 2 years. Wife hung herself. Boy, that's on a resume. My wife killed herself because of my stupidity. I got her on dope. But boy, could he preach with the power of God in his life. He went to pastor school. He went all over. I talked to him several years ago. Now I talk to him about every week on the phone. I lost track with him. He chased me down. He came to my brother Jimmy's funeral from Millersville, Georgia. I said, Teddy, what happened to you, man, after you met Lee Robertson? He said, Brother Jack, I was so ashamed of what I did. I got my forgiveness on the blood of Christ and went on. Hey, when you sin, you confess your sins to Christ, not me. You confess your faults to man. You don't confess your sins to man. You confess your sins to God.
Amen.
Christ died for your sin. You tell some preacher, he may get a bad memory and repeat it. And about 10 of them wish I'd die right now. But anyways, I'll leave that alone. And he said, Teddy, what'd you do? He said, I found little jails all over Georgia for the next 25 years. And I went on Monday, I went on Saturday, and I went on Sunday. He's 80 years old now. I'll see him for the first time in a long time next week. You know what he did? He knew he messed up. See, the light never stopped burning. The light never stopped burning. That's eternal security. Woo! Thank God for that. But the premiation depends on you and I. I'm not finished, but I'm done. I'll tell you this one on me. I got some bitterness got in my heart one day out in fellow Washington. A guy gave me some other, whatever. And I'm by the grass an old Lincoln Town Car looked like a Batmobile. Boom, 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 fat man. I've lost about 75 pounds. Oh, you want to get look good? No, I want to stay out of a wheelchair. Yeah. It was the first time I preached standing up in about a year. I'm taking off another 60 pounds. Yeah, I do miss the Oreo cookies. Man, sin tastes good. And I miss them double, triple cheeseburgers. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I feel like Red Fox, Elizabeth, I'm coming home. But it ain't over yet. I got a wife. I got 17 grandkids now. Three of them wanted to go into ministry. Sure hate to see Papa go to heaven because they couldn't lay the fork down. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm talking about me. I forget what I was going to say now. What was I talking about? Seriously. Take in? Land of?
Land of fork
down. No, before that. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you. I'm driving out in Washington. And somebody gave me 100 acres out there. I don't know why people just give me things. I buy them, too. And I got about four or five groups coming back to Empire, about 40 miles north of Birmingham. I'm keeping my, whatever I have there stays on location this time. I've learned a few things. I sent a little message to you. I got a little bitter out in Washington. Some things weren't taking place right. I got mad. I'm going down the road, and I put a cassette tape in the car. And this cassette tape was going on and on and on and on. I'm driving late, coming back up to Oregon and so forth, coming into Othello. And, man, the cassette tape kicked in. This is what was on it. Once I wandered out in sin, far from God above, but the dear old Savior took me and he wrote my name above. The load I once had carried, he took away somehow. Well, I just heard from heaven, and it's all right now. I just heard from heaven. Woo! It was Brother Olaf saying when about 100 girls, hey, I had a revival in a Ford, amen. Then I pulled my car over inside the road, Brother Al, and I got on my knees. I was crying. I didn't care who stopped. I had the door open, the flasher door, and here come two cop cars. I can always spot a cop light from Detroit. Hello. Man, I said, good night. I'm getting busted for praying. And all of a sudden, hello, hello, hello. Get on the ground. Who's over there? Get your hands up. Get your hands up. Hey, hey, what's up? I want to say, what's up? I said, hey, this is pretty. I happened to be chaplain of that sheriff's department in Pasco for 10 years. He said, get up where we can see you. Get up. Get up. I got up. I said, hey, man, how's it going? Chaplain Patterson, what are you doing here? I said, well, I'm getting right with God. And one guy said, okay. I don't know what that means, but we're going to get out of here. You're okay? I said, yeah, gee, Wally, I'm okay. I said, I got to get something on my heart. I couldn't wait till I got home. I wanted to take care of it now. Yeah, and that's probably one of the last times I've allowed some slick-talking Christian get in my heart. I don't let them in. Some of you let them in. And they control your thinking. They control how you respond. They control your giving. I know I'm on target. I know. I can look at you. You're some of the best Christians I've met. You're good people. But we want that light permeating more so your grandkids can see a mom and dad. They can see you at work permeating more. What happened to him? Man, what happened to him? What happened to them? And when people attack you, you don't respond. You pray for them. That boy I talked to you about here, that boy was in this church, this preacher tried to help him. But he's like this. But his dad knows and his mom knows. This preacher and this preacher, whenever we get a call, Jack, I heard from him. Come on. I'm going to hop in my car. My little red Traverse has got 277,000 miles on it for helping people. I'll be here in a day. I'll be here in a flash. I'll be here in a flash. I'm asking you a question tonight. I'm done. Is your light shining tonight? There's a sun on the glass that you put there. That you put there and I put there. It's got to be, Lord, I'm sorry for this. And you name it. Lord, I'm sorry for this bitterness and this anger. Lord, maybe I've sinned. Hey, confess your, I'd rather confess your sins to God in the church than I do it at the judgment seat of Christ. There's going to be some whipping going on. Why didn't you do what I told you to do? Why didn't you go where I told you to go? How can some of you guys called to be a missionary look at that board on the way out? Will you go by like this? Man, you sound like you know. I've had a lot of brokenness in my life. I did some stupid things, but I got back up. You confess it and get right with God and get back up. Quitting is never the answer. I'm talking to some of you mothers right now. You're carrying a heavy heart tonight. Get the sun off the glass. Some of y'all got husbands for jerks. And some of you men got jerkettes. It's in the Bible somewhere. I wish you can see the girls on the street in Columbus. They don't mean nothing by it. Brother Job, help me. Amen, Brother Job. Preacher, can I get in the car with you? Can I get in the car with you? I'm out here selling my body. My baby, two babies are asleep in that car right there. Can I get in the car and take my babies with you? He didn't teach me that in the Bible school. But God taught me how to react to it. Now he's got a women's home. And I called some Amish guy that I kept out of prison. I said, first person pronoun, you hear what I said. One boy went to court 27 times and paid my own expenses. I just don't put all that stuff. If I put everything in my newsletter, you wouldn't believe it. He said, Brother Jack, he says, you don't ask much for yourself. I said, no, I don't. I said, would you help Brother Job? And would you do it as unto me? He said, we're working on it. I said, what do you need? I said, we need windows, we need doors, we need tin roofs. He's about running out of money, get the bottom deck all built. He asked to build it, the guy who did Crabtree, brother from PBI, or Green Beret, got shot in Grenada. He overbuilt the sucker, which is good. I told Job, you need more for two or three bunks. You need something for about 30 women. He said, Brother Jack, man, what do I do? I said, run it. Run it. And I'll say more. I don't even know if I'm preaching a mile. I'll say this to you. When last some of you asked God for a vessel to be used in? When do you ever ask the Lord, Lord, would you put me in the fight? Lord, can I go in the vineyard? Can I go in the vineyard? But it ain't up to you where you go. It ain't up to you where you go. Or your grandmother. Or your granddaddy. When they make a commitment to Christ, keep your hands off. Let them go. Let them go. Robert Moffat was preaching one night. All he had was a little boy up there pumping organ up in the attic. One thing the old man, I don't call him the old man. That's stupid stuff, the old man. No, his name is Dr. Ruckman. Call him brother. I always call him Brother Pete. That's what he asked us to call him. Hey, the old man. He's not Bob Jones Sr. He's Pete Ruckman. He taught us church history. History is his story. Folks, I'm telling you, I just off the streets, man. I used to go to the bathroom with a wine bottle, crack people in the head who bothered me. I used to get the square kind. What's that stuff you used to drink in the square bottle? Jim Beam. Kidding. I'd fill with water or dirt and crack a guy in the head. I was only 13 years old. That's where I lived. I don't live that way. I don't talk that way. That's the old man. There's a new man now. There's a new woman inside you. Hey, a new man inside you. Well, get me some heresy going. Actually, there's a new woman inside. You know what I mean? And you know what he preached on the three women? Unto you, old men, I call. How many know where I'm going next? Raise your hand. Because there's a little boy up there pumping the organ. See, you never know when you commit to God. You don't know what's going on. You don't know. You mean God can use me? If God can use me, man, I was kicked out of 5 high schools in 1 semester. I wasn't dumb. I was just stupid. I wouldn't listen. But what changed my heart? I didn't want to go home and tell my mom I got kicked out again. I had a good mother. And she can cook now. She grew up in the Amish, but my sister missed those classes. up there with a boy up there pumping the organ. Preacher, I'm done. A little boy was listening. Unto you, old man, I call, preaching to three women down here. It was David Livingston. And God told him to preach on. Unto you, old man, I call, and there was three old women. By the way, David Livingston married Robert Moffat's daughter. And he helped them put out the Moffat translation of the Bible in other languages. You know what's wrong with most of us? We got everything right here. You got everything. You got all the answers and all. What about this? What about this? What about this? What? I'm a singer. I'm going to travel here. What about this? Take your hand off your life. What do you want? What do you want? In the meantime, I got to get that Bible in there. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. And you know what? You can tell it when things are right. You quit gossiping about people. Why do you want to gossip about the body of Christ? You didn't die for him. I never could figure that out. Well, you know about someone telling you did all. Shut up. Unto you, old man, I called. And I'm glad David Livingston got in. Oh, by the way, he got in. He did a lasting work. The last 6 months of his life, they carried him on a stretcher in Africa. He told the men that carried him, he said, I'm going to die. And when I die, I want you to cut my heart out. And I want you to bury it in Africa. And they sent his body, which took 6 months to get it back to Westminster Abbey in England. That's the crowd you run with. It isn't the Joe Osteen crowd. I'm done. Let me ask you a question. I don't have time to finish it, but you know that wick's got to be in some oil. Some of you got dry wicks tonight. It's not in the oil. The oil is a picture of the Holy Ghost. You need to put that self-will you got into that oil and turn it up. Let that light just permeate and get all the stuff off the wall on the inside. You know what you need to do. Shall we stand? Father, bless the message tonight. Lord, I'll try to keep my time limit here tonight.